As we are going to consider the first commandment tonight, we would like to direct your attention to 2 Chronicles, the life of Josiah, chapter 34. 2 Chronicles, chapter 34. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of his father, of David his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places, and the groves, and the carved images, and the molten images. And they break down the altars of Baalim in his presence, and the images that were on high above them he cut down, and the groves and the carved images and the molten images he break in pieces, and made dust of them, and strode them upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. And he burned the bones of the priests upon their altars, and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And so did he in the cities of Manasseh, and Ephraim, and Simeon, even unto Naphtali, with their mattocks round about. Mattocks means the hill countries round about. And when he had broken down the altars and groves, and had beaten the graves, graven images into powder, and cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Egypt, of Israel rather, he returned to Jerusalem. Now, in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Maaseiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Joahas, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. And when they came to Hilkiah, the high priest, they delivered the money that was brought into the house of God, which the Levites that kept the doors had gathered of the hand of Manasseh and Ephraim, and of all the remnant of Israel, and of all Judah and Benjamin. And they returned to Jerusalem. And they put it in the hand of the workmen that had the oversight of the house of the Lord, and they gave it to the workmen that wrought in the house of the Lord to repair and amend the house. Even to the artificers, the builders, gave they it to buy hewn stone and timber for couplings, and to floor the houses which the kings of Judah had destroyed. And the men did the work faithfully, and the overseers of them were Jahath and Obadiah the Levites, and the sons of Merari, of the sons of Merari, and Zechariah and Meshullam of the sons of the Kohathites, to set it forward, and others of the Levites, all that could skill of instruments of music. Also they were over the bearers of burdens, and over the overseers, and all that wrought the work in any manner of service. And of the Levites there were scribes and officers and porters. And when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. And Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. And Shaphan carried the book to the king, and brought the king word back again, saying, all that was committed to thy servants, they do it. And they have gathered together the money that was found in the house of the Lord, and have delivered it into the hand of the overseers, and to the hand of the workmen. Then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah and Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Abdon, the son of Micah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Azariah, a servant of the king's, saying, "Go and inquire of the Lord for me and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book." And Hilkiah and they that the king had appointed went to Huldah, the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikva, the son of Hazra, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college. And they spake to her to that effect. And she answered them, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell ye the man that sent you to me, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the curses that are found in are written in the book which are they have read before the king of Judah. Because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be poured out upon this place and shall not be quenched. And as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, so shall ye say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel concerning the words which thou hast heard. Because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God, when thou heardest this, his word against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes and weep before me, I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord God. Behold, I will gather thee to thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered to thy grave in peace. Neither shall thine eyes see all the evil that I will bring upon this place and upon the inhabitants of the same." So they brought the king word again. Then the king sent and gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the priests and the Levites and all the people, great and small. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. And he caused all that were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. And Josiah took away all the abominations out of all the countries that pertained to the children of Israel, and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. And all his days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, children, young people, I would like to start with a question tonight. A very simple question. We can all answer it. Do you love your own soul? Do you love your own soul? It's a question that came to me when I read the Heidelberg Catechism for this afternoon. It's a question that came to me when I studied the life of Josiah. Do you love your own soul? If we do, we will serve the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. When we love our own soul, we will be devoted to God with tender hearts. The tender hearts that the Lord asks from us. Do you love your own soul? There's simply two answers to this. Yes, I do. And then your actions and your words and everything shows. Or no, I don't. And your actions and your life is going to show. So as we study tonight Josiah's life in light of the Heidelberg Catechism, we will see what it means to love our own soul. It means this tender-hearted devotion to the things of God, being fully devoted to the Lord. So that's our theme for tonight, tender-hearted devotion. And we see this tender-hearted devotion in our text. It's these words from verse 27. It says here, because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God, and when thou heardest his words against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes and weep before me, I've even heard thee also, saith the Lord. But we focus on those words, because thine heart was tender. And we consider that in light of question and answer 94 and 95 of the Heidelberg Catechism. If you care to read along, page 70 in the back of your Psalter. Question 94, what doth God enjoin, that is, command or charge, in the first commandment? That I, as sincerely as I desire the salvation of my own soul. See, there, that's where the question came from. Avoid and flee from all idolatry, sorcery, soothsaying, superstition, invocation of saints, or any other creatures, and learn rightly to know the only true God. Trust in Him alone, with humility and patience. Submit to Him. Expect all good things from Him only. Love, fear, and glorify Him with my whole heart. So that I renounce and forsake all creatures, rather than commit even the least thing contrary to His will. What is idolatry? Idolatry is instead of or besides that one true God who has manifested Himself in His Word to contrive, that means to make up, or have any other object in which men place their trust. So Josiah's life shows this tender-hearted devotion, and he was destroying God, desiring God rather, first, and then destroying idols, and then thirdly, he was directing others to serve the Lord. Let's consider these three things tonight. Josiah was one of the last kings of Judah, and Israel was already in captivity, and then after him, four more kings would come, wicked kings. And then exile. But the remarkable thing is, and the hopeful thing is about Josiah, is that he was a godly king. And the interesting thing is that he didn't have a lot of role models to show him what it means to fear the Lord. He didn't have a lot of examples around him to follow. And children, you know that, right? If you read along or listened along, you heard that he was only 8 years old when he became a king. Maybe some of you here are 8 years old. Can you imagine to be a king or a queen of a whole country to rule? Of course, people must have helped him. Now, Josiah was a king for 31 years. That's a long time. But it also means that he died rather young. He died when he was 39 years old. So this was a very young king, and he was not the only one in sacred history, right? Do you remember the other name? It was Joash, right? We hope to hear later a little bit about him also. But what was so special about this king? He started well and he ended well. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. While there were not many people around him to give him the right examples, and it seems also that there was not many people who wanted to serve the Lord with him. Verse 2 says, he walked in the ways of David his father. So this is reminding us, this was a godly king like King David. And in verse 3, David is mentioned again, the God of David his father. That's whom he sought. And then verse 2, it says he declined neither to the right hand nor to the left hand. So what does that mean? Well, if you don't go here and don't go there, you have one focus. He had one focus, and that was doing what is right in the eyes of the Lord. Isn't that beautiful, children? Isn't that beautiful, young people? That's what the first commandment is all about. Doing what is right in the eyes of the Lord. Serving God and no other gods. There's only one God, and He is so worthy, children, to be served with your whole heart. This was not always the case in Josiah's life. He was 8 years old when he ascended the throne, when he became king. But then when he turned 16, then it changes. Then it says he begins to seek after God, the God of his father David. So we could say this king was converted, changed, when he was 16 years old. The Lord was working in his heart this beautiful desire for himself. And now he seeks. He desires. He says, I want to know this God. I cannot longer live without this God. And so he begins to learn about God, pray to God, worship God, need God for everything. Is that what you do too, children? All of us? That's what happens when we are converted, young people. Josiah had a tender heart. That's what it means. A tender heart. A single-focused heart on God alone. I want to please God because He's so worthy. I want to know this God. I hope there are many here tonight. Lord, show me more what it means to fear the Lord, to know Thee. Now, our catechism talks about the same thing. It says that keeping the first commandment is that I, as sincerely as I desire the salvation of my own soul, and then it says a few things about what it means to seek God. And then one of the things it talks about is that God teaches us to keep the first commandment. And what does He do then? He teaches us to rightly know who He is. The only true God. And how do we know? His Son, Jesus Christ, of course, in the New Testament. And how do we know? Through His Word, through His Spirit. And that's exactly what happened in Josiah's life. Although he saw the Lord Jesus not as clearly as we do, but he saw him in the sacrifices, and he began to seek after this God, the God of his father David. Young people, how about you? Maybe you're 8 years old. Maybe you're 16 years old. What are you expecting in life? What are you living for? What are you looking for? What are you focused on? God? That's a blessing. If your life is focused on God. Because when God works that, then He turns us who were turned away from Him always to Himself. We become focused on what He wants, what He desires. That's what the first commandment is all about. We can become focused on Him rather than ourselves. And if that's your focus, and the Lord is working this conversion in your life, I hope He's doing that. You know, one of the blessings, especially when you're young, is that when you're converted young, it spares you from many sins that you later on will deeply regret. When the Lord works this desire after Himself in your heart so that you want to know Him, that changes everything in your life. Now, when we are older than 8 or 16, we need the same. If we are still without salvation, whether we are 60 or 80, the question comes to us this afternoon, to all of us, are we seeking after God? Desiring after God actively, so we don't leave our seat empty in church. It's not so that we need to dust off our Bibles, because no, there is this desire. We want to know. We want to know the Lord. Seek after the Lord. No one needs to tell us you need to pray. Because there's this inward desire to know Him personally, deeply, in the Lord Jesus Christ, powerfully. That's what happened when Josiah was 16 years old. So young people, it's never, if you say, well, it's not now yet, 16. You see what the Lord does? But He can do it even younger. If that hasn't happened in your life and whoever you are, then it still needs to happen as soon as possible. Then the Lord comes to you tonight and says, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. But you say, how? Well, through His Word. God promises in His Word that seekers will be finders. This morning we heard about the great and precious promises that God gives, has given. Already given. Now here's another one. Here's another one for us tonight. Deuteronomy 4 verse 29. Especially those who say either the Lord is far or I am far from the Lord. It says here, but if thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, Deuteronomy 4:29, thou shalt find Him if thou shalt seek Him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. That's a precious promise. If we seek Him with all our heart, God says you will find Him. And you know to who this promise came? To those who would later be scattered in exile. So what is the qualification? Deuteronomy speaks about those people who are in exile and then seek the Lord. So are you far off from the Lord? That's the qualification. Are you far off from the Lord? Then this is a promise for you. And what does the Lord tell you in this promise? Seek Me with everything in you. You'll find Me. What a promise. But someone says, perhaps, I've done so. Nothing happened. Now, this is the follow-up question I want to ask you. Are you still expecting God to keep His promises? Are you still expecting God to keep His promises? And do you also do what God requires us to do, to humble yourself before the Lord and take out everything that hinders prayerfully? Everything that hinders. Because that's what Josiah did also. He destroyed all the idols we see here in this passage. He reformed his life as a result because God had changed his hearts and desire through the power of the Spirit. That's what he was doing. He was desiring after God. But someone might say here tonight, I don't have power to reform my life. You're right. You don't. And that's why God says, seek Me, I will give you the power. He calls us and says, repent, come to Me. As the catechism shows us also what it means to seek the Lord, which means that we are called to love, fear, and glorify Him with our whole heart, with everything in us. If you say, I don't have the power to reform my life, I don't have that desire, then look to who can give you that desire. It's God Himself, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. He can save you, He can give you His Spirit, He can empower you. Everything given in those promises, plead those promises. That's what it means to seek the Lord. Now Josiah was seeking the Lord. What a blessing that was for a young king. But his life is only a pointer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because think about it, young people, 16 years old, and then he changed. Then he began to seek. You would say, okay, 16 years wasted in his life. How many have you wasted, young people, so far? Don't you need the Lord Jesus, who never wasted any second of his life, who glorified God with everything in him, who always feared his Father more than the people around him, more than the idols that people were serving around him? He never wasted a moment of his life. And that's why we need him. That's why we need him. His righteousness, his good deeds, to keep this law, to keep this first commandment, to cover those years that you say, I've wasted those years. When you look back and you say, my past, all the sin, wasted, a life without God. Seek the Lord. Have you yet been wasting your life to this very moment? Today, he gives his promises so that you may find him in the Lord Jesus Christ. The question is, do you love your own soul? Or is there something else that you love? If you love your own soul, you need to fear the Lord. Because otherwise your soul will be destroyed forever. You need to fear the Lord. And you need to come to him. If you say, I've wasted all those years, I see sin in my life, help me, Lord, to destroy my idols. And that's our second thought. Josiah was only 16. And the Lord changed his desires. But he was 20 when he really took action and purged the country from idolatry. Verse 3 tells us, in his 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem. He began to purge. That simply means everything that is not helpful in the service of the Lord, everything that is offensive to the Lord, he wanted to be done with it. Everything that hindered in the nation as a person. Now, what did he all do? Well, we read and we see that he destroyed the high places. Children, high places were places on mountains where they served the idols. And they thought, well, then we are a little closer to the idols. Altars, he destroyed as well. That's where they sacrificed to their idols. Groves, well, those were sacred trees and poles. They were dedicated to that idol. If you were close to that, then the idol was closer to you. Carved and molten images, those were the statues they made, and then that was their God. Josiah's servants destroyed all these things. They ruined it all. Broke down the altars, destroyed the idols, scattered the dust even of the people, the idolaters on their graves of those idols. Burned the remains of the priests. He purged. He cleansed everything. And then he went back to Jerusalem, it says. But did you notice that he was there personally, himself? Verse 4 says, they, his servant, break down the altar of Baalim in his presence. And then he says, he cut down, he break in pieces, he burned the bones. It was Josiah's deep desire. He was commanding it. He wanted it, this idolatry, to stop. Now, serving God was not easy in those days. People around them, all the countries around them, were serving the idols. And even when you read about this Reformation, it seems that Josiah is mostly doing this all on his own. His servants are listening to him, but that seems almost about it. Seems to be some reluctance. But Josiah loved the Lord. He loved his own soul. He loved his people's souls. And he sincerely desired salvation. And so, what our catechism says, he avoided and fled all idolatry. Now, we don't bow down again to idols, children, right? We don't do that. But we have other things that we bow down for. Let's be honest this afternoon, that idolatry really is attractive to our natural hearts. It's so then and so now. Now, what was so attractive? Why did the people serve idols? Well, you know, idols guaranteed something. You just needed to say the right thing to that idol, and then something came back to you. Idols were, it appealed to their selfishness. I give something, then that idol blesses me. It was easy. You don't need to bother about the heart issues of life. Just do a few rituals. Do a few rituals. Is there someone who says, I've come to seek the Lord just sitting in church pew for tonight? Do some rituals. Or has it become real? I'm seeking the Lord. Now, continue about idolatry. Idolatry was convenient. People had to travel all the way to Jerusalem. Those idols, they were all around them. Idolatry was normal. All the countries did it. It appeared a kind of logic because, you know, there were certain idols for certain areas, and if you had a certain problem, you went to that idol. And then it would be better. And you didn't need faith for it. No, you just had feelings, some feelings for this idol, or you could touch it, you could see it. Easy. Idolatry meant pleasure often, because they went to those different places and they had then a good meal for the idol. Something to enjoy. And worse, sometimes it involved sensuality, temple prostitution. That's why it had such an appeal to those people. That's why the sins of this world still have an appeal to each one of us by nature. And Calvin taught us that our hearts by nature are idol factories. Have you found that statement true in your own life? Do you know that? And are you bothered by that? Are you bothered by that? Because idolatry still works the same. I need to do something to get better. At least it promises something. Some kind of type of ritual, some kind of right word, some so that I get some outward blessing. I'm in control. I can manipulate, make the idol do whatever I want. It's normal all over the world. It's everywhere available. It's focused on the things that we can see, that we can taste or whatever. On our senses. Not on the eternal realities of a God who is invisible, who is far greater than our imaginations. It's still so attractive because it's focusing always, our idols are always focusing us on our own pleasure. And Catechism defines idolatry for us in question 95. Idolatry is instead of or beside that one true God who has manifested himself in his word to make up or to contrive or have any other object in which men place their trust. Whatever it is. I don't know what it is for you. It can vary from children, from some kind of toy, to lots of money, possessions, visible things, deep desires in the heart, power, recognition, pleasure, some kind, all kinds of things. The problem is when a good thing, create a thing, becomes the ultimate thing. And say, that's my God. That's what I go for. And the problem is that we think, okay, this is going to bless me, but you don't need God for it. And we think, sometimes I can do God and this, that idol. And Josiah says, I want to purge from all idolatry. Have we done so in our lives? That's the question that this Lord's Day asks us. Have we done so in our lives? Purged. He had zeal. And that zeal showed tenderheartedness. Probably there might have been some people standing around Josiah and looking at Josiah's life, and they say, that whole idol thing, Josiah takes it far too serious. Far too serious. Is that true? If we really desire salvation of our own soul, love our own soul, then we have to love God with everything in us. And that's what he did. He did not only the negative, he did also the opposite. He served God with everything in his heart. He repaired the temple. Everything that was neglected by the other kings, there was some money for it. Joash, do you remember, children? I talked about Joash. Here he is again. He had put a collection box, and there was some collection box in that temple, and now they have some money to pay the temple repairs. And as they do these repairs, then something special happens, children. They find something. It's the law of the Lord. And when there is reformation, when there is a desire to go away from idols, then God gives his word in ways. It's as if he says, let's take the dust off. Here you have it. And that's what happened. God gave a beautiful gift, the word of God himself. And the law of God. And that Josiah gets that scroll. And he receives that scroll. And then when they read it to him, he's horrified. He looks around to what's happening in the hearts of the people. And he hears the judgments of the Lord and the curses of the Lord for his people who don't keep the law. And he sees around him, they are not keeping the law. And it deeply troubles him. He rends his clothes. He sends someone to inquire of the Lord. He wants to know. See, this is what a tender heart is. When you come to the Word of God and it condemns you, it speaks about judgment over your sins. That you say, Lord, is it me? He goes to prophetess Huldah. And now Jeremiah was around in those days, but somehow it seems Huldah was closer at that time. And she tells, indeed, God will punish his people for all their idolatry. The wrath of God rests upon his people. And yet, she has a word for Josiah too. The Lord will spare Josiah. Why? Because of his tender heart. Because he humbled himself before the Lord. Because there was not this impenetrable, stony heart, this hard heart. But he was shocked when he heard the judgments of the Lord. That's what a tender heart means. When you have a tender heart, that's what it does in your life. You read the word and you tremble when it condemns you, and you see of those traces of sin in your own heart. You say, Lord, have mercy. How's that with us? How's that with us? Most people around us don't seem to be interested in serving God. Will you, like Josiah, stand alone? Are our hearts tender, like Josiah's? We want to get rid of everything that hinders the worship of God in our lives. We've been purging our lives. Have you? Have I? Everything that displeases God, our idolatry, our covetousness, whatever it is. Hating those things that the whole world goes after, money, sex, pleasure, and power. When we humbly repent, when we see certain traces of those sins still in our hearts, does that humble us? Does it trouble you in your soul? Are you in my heart humble, tender when it comes to idols? Or are we hard-hearted? When we talk about these things, you have such a wall around your heart, and it's just like a stony wall around your heart. Don't bother about these things. You take it far too serious. Don't take it so serious. That's not what Josiah did. That's not what a godly heart does. That's not what someone does who loves his own soul and who loves therefore God and seeks to please Him. He was troubled in his thoughts, in his desires, in his emotions, his conscience, a tender heart, everything in him. And this was a child of God. This was a child of God. So it's not first repentance what we are talking about here. Here's someone who is living close to the Lord. So children of God, does sin bother you? Do you have a growing hatred for sin? That shows your heart is tender. A tender and broken heart, God's word tells us, is pleasing to the Lord. It's pleasing to the Lord. Now, not all of us cry so easily. But when our hearts are tender, our eyes will be wet at times too. When we are distressed about sin, our own, and in Josiah's case, also the sins of others. Psalm 119 says this about that. Rivers run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law. And that's what happened in Josiah's life. That's what he saw when he looked around him. That's what we see when we look into our culture. Young people, how's that with you? And really all of us. May I ask you, especially when you confess to be a child of God, what makes you cry? What makes you cry? Is it sin? What makes you happy? When the Lord is pleased, when He's close, when He's near, when you know He's with me, His favor, He's forgiven me, serving Him. Because think about it, no one was pushing Josiah. You need to do this? No. God was working in his heart. It was his heart's desire. And here's another question for you young people. Are we serious? Are you and I serious about reforming our lives? If we confess to belong to the Lord, we are to be serious when it comes to reforming our lives. What are the idols that need destruction in your life? Is there perhaps someone, young people among you, who is listening to music that comes straight from hell? The whole world listens to it. It's free. You can stream it everywhere. It's easily available. It's somehow pleasurable. Focus on the idols of the world. Manipulate your feelings. Music, sometimes about darker things, death. Destroy those idols. Josiah broke down the altars of idols. What do you do? What kind of movies are you watching, young people? I'm not here to say that to condemn you, but what are you watching? The Word of God comes and say, all those idols on your laptops, on your smartphones, on your tablets, how much of you have you destroyed already? How much is it destroying you? Your appetite for God? It's easily accessible, right? It's everywhere. If you have... Have you purged any of your devices of the things that you know that pull you away from God, the sinful junk. Young people, all of us, is there anyone who has an account on internet and you know that is temptation? Purge it. Delete it forever. If you love your own soul. And pray to the Lord. Seek the Lord. Deliver me from these temptations. I've fallen into it over and over. What kind of video games are you playing, young people? What kind of graphic, sinful pictures do they leave in your minds when you're done? Have you ever thought about purging your phone and computer and tablets and all that? Have you ever thought about, I need help here? Talk to your parents, talk to your elders, talk to us pastors. Well, you say, well, don't be so rigorous. That's so extreme. I have Christian friends who do that too. Well, here's the question. Do you love your own soul? If the whole world would go to hell, do you love your own soul enough to be serious about serving God and hating what He hates? Josiah was young. He stood alone. He was serious about these things. And he didn't say, well, whatever. He purged the country of idols. Do you love your own soul enough to purge your life from idols with the Lord's help? But that's way too extreme, you say. That's exactly what people said about the Lord when He went into the temple at that day, and there was hypocrisy and there was money business going on. And when He exposed all those sins of those days, they said about the Lord Jesus, too zealous, too extreme. Imagine when you were looking at Jesus, watching Him turning those tables and the money flying away, chasing the buyers and the sellers with a little whip. And the disciples thought, the zeal of the house of God has eaten Him up. That's what Reformation is all about. He purged the house of God. The place where we worship God, where we pray to God. Not just God's house. That should be happening in each of our hearts. That same thing. Because our bodies are called to be temples of the Holy Spirit, in which we focus on God, in which we worship God, in which we are focused on prayer. Rather than being distracted with all the pleasures of this world. Purge. Is your heart tender? God was with him because his heart was tender. What else can you desire in this world? You will have hope for a better future. You know, what is so encouraging about knowing, having this tender heart, Josiah had the ear of the Lord. Because at the end of verse 27, what does it say? I have heard you. God has heard the cry of Josiah. There's reward for those who cry to the Lord and say, Lord, help me to purge away all that junk in my life, that sin. There was reward for Josiah. And first of all, he received the word of God as never before. He found the law of God. And that word instructs us into the ways of salvation. And Psalm 19 again, 119 rather. My heart stands in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word as one that finds great spoil. That's what happened. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. And then this, Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And that's what Josiah received too, when he spoke to Huldah the prophetess. She prophesied judgment on the people of God, idolatrous people of God. But she promised peace to all those who come with a tender heart to God. He would not experience exile. And then this morning we heard from Jeremiah 70, this man has these roots deep underground. And is refreshed and trusts in the Lord. He has his roots in God. This tender heart is given by God. Trusts in the Lord. Let's sing before we briefly consider our last point. We are going to sing this time not 123, we're singing Psalter 1. There we see those two ways that we see that this man is blessed who fears the Lord. Psalm 1. So Josiah seeks God, he desires God, he destroys idols, and then he directs others to this wonderful God, this covenant-keeping God. And then in verses 30 through 33, we read about a covenant ceremony, People close to Jerusalem, they come, all young and old, important, not so important, and there they renew the covenant. They say, we want to serve God only. The king stands there, he reads the law to his people. What a sight must that have been, a young king reading the law What a blessing it would be if our officials take the Bible and read it in the public meetings of our government. And then he makes a covenant. That's an agreement. What is it all about, children? Verse 31, to walk after the Lord, to follow him, keep his commandments, testimonies, statutes, and simply obey the Lord's law with the whole heart and with all the soul, to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. Do you see that? Do you notice? It's the king who openly confesses, I want to worship the Lord alone. What a blessing. If we could say that from our whole church, each one of us tonight, with deep devotion, I want to serve the Lord with my whole heart and him alone. And then he makes the people to stand to it as well. He says, people, this is good for you too. And Josiah took away, verse 33, that summarizes this whole episode. And Josiah took away all the abominations out of all the countries of Israel and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. And all his days they departed not from following the Lord, of the God of their fathers. Now when you compare to other times when the covenants are made, there's one thing that is really striking here. In the covenant that we heard about last week in Exodus 19, people say, what the Lord has commanded, we will do. So there is responses here. But what we don't hear, neither in 2 Kings, nor here in 2 Chronicles, that there is a promise from the people. There's no answer. It's quiet. Why not? Could it be that they were reluctant to promise obedience? Could it be that that was not joyful obedience from the heart? It says here, Josiah made all the people serve the Lord. It seems like they had to. It was not from the heart. Their hearts were with the idols. That's clear. The second thing is that as soon as the other kings come around, they went right back to idolatry. And they bought their ticket to their exile. Straight to the exile. And why this prophecy about the people of God, about judgment from Huldah? That looks like they are reluctant to serve the Lord. However it was. This was nevertheless a bright spot in 2 Chronicles. He did everything in his power to make the people serve the Lord. And did everything to direct them out of their idolatry. And yet it is sad to think that after that, they went straight to exile. 2 Kings 23:25 says, like unto him was no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his might, according to the law of Moses, neither after them arose any like him. It's encouraging when someone stands up and says, let's serve the Lord. He stood out as a faithful and godly king. How about us? Are we faithful servants of God? But then there's this sad note. It seems almost it's too late. People seem to be trapped in their idolatry. And the wrath of God seems to continue to burn. They choose to go right back to their idolatry. Great fall away. Exile. Josiah uses influence for other people. But the fact is that it had little lasting fruit. And sometimes parents, when you are trying to influence your children for good, it can be almost feeling like, is it too late? Is this heart completely set on idolatry? Maybe we think that when we look into our culture. Evangelism, is that really going to work? Is that going to change this culture? Perhaps someone of us is praying for a long time And there's no change in that person you're praying for. Only more idolatry. Should we give up? No, we shouldn't. We should be like Josiah. Nevertheless, we should seek that others would serve this Lord also. This commandment is good for everybody. You shall have no other gods before me. That comes to every single person on this planet. So don't give up if it seems like it doesn't bear fruit. If you seek to be a godly influence in the life of others, parents, office bearers, whoever we are, young people. Here is an example of a young godly king. Don't give up. Seniors, exemplify this kind of godliness. Even when it looks like there is no change. Or the change that you would desire so greatly. Let's go back to that question. Do you love your own soul? Then desire God, destroy your idols, and direct others to the Lord by word and example. Or are you here tonight and is your life more heading for exile like the people there? Heading for God's wrath. The judgment will come on our idolatrous culture. It's no doubt about it. But isn't it time that the judgments begin at the house of God and that we become serious about the things of God and destroying our idols? And how we need the Lord Jesus. New covenant promises what? I will sprinkle clean water upon you. You shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. Here's a promise to plead for us. Seek the Lord with this promise. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. That's a tender heart. That's the promise of the new covenant. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ can give to us. And that's what He earned on the cross. So the big question is, do you love your own soul? Then serve the Lord for the good of your own soul. Seek the Lord Jesus. He's more than just a perfect example. He's the one who cleanses our hearts and makes it soft through the blood of His cross. And breaks all the wickedness of your idolatry. Seek Him, find Him, serve Him, Him alone. Amen.